We've already noted in other Reta-Formi summaries the challenges we face between the two parts of our brain, the amygdala, collectively called the crocodile or lizard brain, and the neocortex, or young thinking brain. The croc brain is used for instant decisions, fight, flight, or mate. Then we pass things on to the neocortex for more detail. In his book, based on 10,000 hours of development experience, Oren Claff suggests this brain-centered conflict is the main reason why our pitches fail. He claims there's a fundamental disconnect between the way we pitch anything and the way it's received by our audience. As a result, at the crucial moment, when it is most important to be convincing, 9 times out of 10, we are not. We base our presentations on facts, assuming that our audience will be using the neocortex, but they are processed by the crocodile brain instead. No pitch or message is going to get to the logic center of the other person's brain without passing through the survival filters of the crocodile brain system first. And because of the way we evolved, these filters make pitching anything extremely difficult. Claff has created a methodology to overcome these challenges, and he shares it with us in his book. He even gives us an acronym as a memory aid, his own Reta-Formi idea code, and it's STRONG. S, setting the frame. T, telling the story. R, revealing the intrigue. O, offering the prize. N, nailing the hook point. And G, getting a decision. Let's look at 3 key factors behind STRONG, the factors that make it work. Key factor number 1, frame control. Claff suggests we need to encase every pitch, any meeting where you desire a positive outcome in your favor, within a frame. A frame is a perspective or approach you intend to take during the pitch. Everyone uses frames whether they realize it or not. Every social encounter brings different frames together. The key point, Claff notes, is frames do not coexist in the same time and place for very long. They crash into each other, and one or other gains control. The winning frame governs the social interaction. It is said to have frame control. Frame collisions are primal. They freeze out the neocortex and bring the crocodile brain in to make decisions and determine actions. In most business situations, there are 3 major types of opposing frames that you will encounter. Power frame and power busting frame, time frame and the time constraining frame, and finally, analyst frame and intrigue frame. Claff also gives us an all-purpose counter. The prize frame. Let's take a look at a power frame clash. The most common opposing frame you will encounter in a business setting is the power frame. The power frame comes from the individual who has a massive ego. His power is rooted in his status, a status derived from the fact that others give this person honor and respect. They're also the most vulnerable to a power busting frame because they do not expect it. They expect your fawning deference and obedience. To instigate a power frame collision, Claff tells us to use a mildly shocking but not unfriendly act to cause it. For example, if you've handed out some supporting material and someone starts to read it before you've finished your pitch, take it off them saying, "Not now." It will come off as a bit of a shock to them, but for that brief moment, the power shifts to you. Remember though, do it lightly and with a smile on your face. Otherwise, you'll be shown the door quicker than you desire. Not confident enough to use this approach? Then the prize frame might help. Another common indirect power exerting situation occurs when the key decision maker does not attend the meeting as agreed. What do? You stop everything, reframe, and immediately take the power back. Here's Claff's prize frame response. When you're told he will join you in 20 minutes, what you reply is, "I have other appointments and the time left will not be enough. I can wait 15 minutes, but then I have to leave." That's enough to get the message through. And then something awesome will happen. The people in the room will scramble, doing their best to prevent you from being offended, doing their best to keep you from leaving. They are worried about you. When you own the frame, others react to you. And if he does not show at that point, you leave. You do not deliver your presentation, you do not leave brochures, and you do not apologize. Your time has been wasted, and you don't even need to say it. They know. Tell the most important person in the room that you're willing to reschedule, but on your turf. For the next meeting, they must come to you. It conveys to your audience that if they wish to get any further information from you, they will first have to do something about it. The time frame clash. You will know that a time frame collision is about to occur when you see attention beginning to wane. Claff suggests, if you wait for someone in the audience to say, "We only have a few minutes left, so let's wrap this up," You will lose the frame because you now have to react to that person. Instead, stay in control of time and start wrapping up yourself. Ironically, the mistake most people make when they see their audience becoming fatigued is to talk faster and try to force their way through the rest of the pitch. Instead of imparting more valuable information faster, however, they only succeed in helping the audience retain less of their message. Constrain time your way. It's your pitch, and you can stop it when you want, leaving your audience wanting more, effectively invoking a version of the prize frame. It's much better than boring them. The analyst frame. Klaff suggests the moment your audience does a deep drill down into the minute details, you are losing control. So what should you do if someone else demands details? Keep the target focused on the business relationship at all times. Analysis comes later. Similarly, as your pitch moves along, some or all of the members of the audience will see the solution, get the idea, and then check out. What really happened is that they've learned enough about our idea to feel secure that they understand it, and there is nothing more to be gained by continuing to pay attention. Klaff tells us the most effective way to overcome this analyst frame is with an intrigue frame, an associated story. The story must be brief and relevant, and it must have risk and time pressure. It must develop tension, but most important, it should take the audience up to the point of resolution, but not quite. By then, your audience will be refocused on you, and you can recommence your pitch. Key factor number 2, status. Klaff states, how others view you is critical to your ability to establish the dominant frame and hold on to the power you take when you win the frame collision. If you do not have high status, you will not command the attention necessary to make your pitch heard. You will not persuade, and you will not easily get a deal done. Like in the animal kingdom, the alpha enjoys most of the attention in the social interaction, even when he's not demanding it. But as top dog, their rank is under constant threat, and alphas protect themselves by asserting their authority over their employees and coworkers. What are set in business are beta traps. A beta trap is a subtle but effective social ritual that puts you in the low status position and works to keep you there, beneath the decision maker you've come to visit for the entire duration of the social interaction. Let's take a visit to a prospect. The first beta trap you encounter is the lobby. It's a venue created to welcome visitors, right? In fact, the lobby serves to demote you from the moment you arrive and keep you demoted through your visit. Another common beta trap is the conference room. If it's empty when you arrive, you're usually left alone for several minutes cooling your heels while you wait for your targets to arrive. When they arrive, the mood is often jovial with lots of light social chatter, smiles, and handshakes. They're happy because they're now taking a break from their daily work to come into a nice, larger room to see today's entertainment. And that's you. So how do we get around beta traps and assert status? Klaff suggests be unaffected by your customer status inside and outside the business environment. Look for opportunities to strengthen your frame and evaluate your status. Quickly move the discussion into an area where you are the domain expert, where your knowledge and information are unassailable by your audience. Apply a prize frame by positioning yourself as the reward for making the decision to do business with you. Confirm your alpha status by making your customer, who is now temporarily occupying a beta position, to make a statement that recognized your higher status. Key factor number 3, eradicating neediness. From his experience, Klaff suggests that signs of neediness is about the worst thing you can do to your pitch. It's incredibly bad for frame control, and it erodes status. Neediness is a signal of threat. If you display neediness, it is perceived as just the kind of threat that the crocodile brain wants to avoid. Neediness results in avoidance. Neediness, displaying so-called validation-seeking behaviors, will affect all social interactions dramatically. One dramatic way to eradicate neediness involves going into every social interaction with a strong time frame that you are prepared to use at any moment. This frame communicates, loudly and clearly, that you are needed somewhere else. A second way is to want nothing. Focus only on the things you do well. If you go with a frame that you don't need the deal, then you'll appear less desperate when things don't go your way. Klaff suggests neediness is the main barrier to the application of his methodology, and by eliminating neediness, you can step forward to gain success. Here's Klaff's step-by-step process to moving forward. Step 1. Learn to recognize beta traps and how to step around them. This is a low-risk way to train your mind to begin thinking in a frame-based way. As you go about the business of life, look for the beta traps. Identify anything that is designed to control your behavior, and think how you would step around it. Step number two, in a gradual way, start stepping around those beta traps. It will feel uncomfortable at first, of course, but it will push you forward to the place where it becomes natural and hardly noticeable to you. Step number three, identify and label social frames. Notice the frames that are coming at you on every level of life. Power frames, time frames, analyst frames are everywhere, and they crash into you on a daily basis. Step number four, begin to initiate frame collisions with safe targets, those who pose no major career risk to you. Remember that humor and a soft touch are absolutely necessary. Without it, you will appear rude and arrogant and will trigger croc-brain defense responses instead of engaging your target in a fun and spirited social exchange. Step 5. The small acts of defiance and denial you will use to take control of a social frame create a certain amount of conflict and tension. And that's the point. Delivering these acts with a soft touch reassures the target's croc-brain that everything is okay. There's no clear and present danger. Step 6. Frame control cannot be forced. If you find yourself forcing the method, fortunately, this is an easy problem to fix. Simply lighten up a little. When you say something that causes a frame collision, do it with a twinkle in your eye and a smile in your heart. Your target will feel your goodwill and good humor and respond in a positive way. Step number 7. Take the plunge. Try it at a pitch, an opportunity presentation, a salary performance review, a meeting with a prospective partner. Anywhere you want to make positive progress. Not everyone uses frame control, but you'll be amazed at its success. And there you have it, everything you need in order to get started using frame control when you are pitching anything.